We've come now to Hebrews chapter 7 as we journey through the Bible. The seventh chapter of Hebrews deals with the subject of Jesus, our great high priest. This morning we'd like to look at verses 23 to 25, but in verse 23, as the writer is talking about the Levitical priest, "And they truly were many priests, because they were not allowed to continue by reason of death. But this man, that is Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." The purpose of the priesthood was to bridge that vast gulf between the eternal, infinite God and finite man. God is absolutely whole and righteous. He is infinite, he is all-powerful, he is the creator and the sustainer of all things. I'm afraid that we just do not grasp the awesomeness of God. There are many people who say, well, the man upstairs, and they speak of God in a very casual manner. But we need to realize how great, mighty, and awesome is God. So great, so awesome, that he is really unapproachable by finite man. Man, beginning with an earth base, could never reach the infinite God. And so the infinite God reached down to finite man by sending his Son, who has become the bridge builder, or actually the bridge itself, by which man and God can be linked. When Job was going through all of his miseries, one of his friends said, "Job, if you would just get right with God, your miseries would be over." And Job responded to him, "How could I ever plead my case before God? If he would cross-examine me, I would not be able to answer him one question in a thousand. He created the universe. His ways are past finding out. He surrounds me, and yet I can't see him. He removes what he desires, and I have no right to ask him, 'What are you doing?' Beside, there is no daysman between us, one who could lay his hand on us both." You see, he properly saw that the gulf between God and man was so great that it would be impossible for man to cross that gulf. You needed someone who could bridge the gulf, who could touch God and touch man. A daysman, a mediator, one who could bridge this tremendous gulf. When God manifested his power and his presence to the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, the nation was born. And as they stood there before Mount Sinai, God manifested his presence. There was fire on the mountain. There was the rolling sound of thunder and all. And the people were absolutely terrified by this manifestation of God's presence. And later, as Moses was reminding them of that experience. In Deuteronomy 5:23, he said, "It came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain burned with fire, that you came unto me, even the heads of the tribes and your elders, and you said, Behold, the Lord our God has showed his glory and his greatness. We have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire, and we have seen this day that God does talk with man, and he lives. Now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we will surely die. For who is there of all flesh that has heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of fire as we have and lived? So you go near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and you speak unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and we will do it." And so was the beginning then of the priesthood. You see, Job lived before the Mosaic law and the priesthood was ever established. But now the priesthood was established. The people said to Moses, "Look, we're afraid to approach God. We'll surely die." So Moses, you go. You listen to God. Let him speak to you. And then you come down and tell us what God has said, and we will obey it. And so they established, under the Mosaic law, the priesthood, a man who would go before God to represent the people, a man who would then return from God, representing God to the people. And once a year, or one day out of the year, the high priest, after many washings and many sacrifices, would go into the presence of God, into the Holy of Holies, and there he would offer unto God sacrifices for the sins of the nation. And when he would come out from the presence of God, then he would speak to the people for God. In Numbers 6, the Lord said that he should put on the people the name of the Lord, saying, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And so the high priest was that mediator, the one who went between God and man. But throughout the history of Israel, they had many high priests. When Aaron died, it was necessary to anoint another man to take the ministry of Aaron as the high priest over the nation of Israel. And one after another, upon the death of the high priest, a new one would be anointed. And thus, as we read in verse 23, there were truly many priests, because they were not allowed to continue by reason of their death. But Jesus has an unchanging priesthood. This man, because he lives forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. By him, we have access unto the Father. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me." Paul said, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man. It is the man Christ Jesus." Speaking of Jesus, Paul said, "By whom we have access by faith into this grace." Again, he said, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him." God testified of him, declaring, "Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek." What a wonderful daysman Jesus is. He can lay his hand, as Job said, "I need someone who could lay his hand upon God and lay his hand upon me at the same time. Someone to bridge. Jesus lays his hand upon God because he is God. He's one with the Father. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. But in the same token, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And he touched men. And he can be touched by men and by the feelings of our weaknesses because he was a man. And so he becomes the perfect daysman, the one who bridges the gulf between finite man and infinite God, and through him I can come to God. Wherefore, we read in verse 25, then he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Not like the priesthood of the Levitical order, where the priest would die and a new one had to be anointed, but he, the priest forever, seeing he ever lives to make intercession. He is able, it says, to save to the uttermost. Now, I'm sure that this has very broad ramifications, and one of them is surely he is able to save people of all nations, all races, ethnic groups. You see, the Jews felt that God only would save the Jews. They felt that salvation was impossible for a Gentile. They believed that you had to become a Jew in order to be saved. And one of the first councils ever called in the church was called over this very issue of whether or not a Gentile could really be saved without becoming a Jew. And that issue was settled in the first church council, Acts 15. But he is able to save to the uttermost. That is the recognition that no matter what nationality you might be, you can be saved through our great high priest, Jesus Christ. Now, when God promised the Messiah, and he told Abraham that through his seed the Messiah would come, God said to Abraham with that promise, and through thy seed, that is the Messiah, shall all of the nations of the earth be blessed. So the Jews should have realized that in the prophecies concerning the Messiah, there was the mention that salvation would come to all of the nations. In Psalm 22, another psalm that prophesies of the death of the Messiah, it declares, all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the ends of the world. And all of the families of the nations shall worship before thee. Again prophesied through Isaiah, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. Again through Isaiah, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. So there are the promises that the salvation would be to the uttermost person, no matter what tribal group, what family of nations, or whatever you came from, he is able to save all men. Jesus commanded his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He is able to save to the uttermost. all who will come unto God by him. Saved to the uttermost, no doubt, also refers from extreme circumstances. When the three Hebrew children refused to bow before the great image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up in the plains of Dura, it was reported to Nebuchadnezzar that they had refused to bow. They were brought before him, and he gave them a very stern warning that they would have one more opportunity to bow to that image, and if they refused, they would be thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And he said, and what God can deliver from the burning fiery furnace? They answered, we're not even careful, O king, how we answer you in this matter, for the God that we serve is able to deliver us out of your burning fiery furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow. And so they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked in and he said, how many did we throw in there? They said, three, O king. He said, how is it I see four? And the fourth one looks like the Son of God. And they're walking in the midst of the fire. And he called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of there. And they were amazed. Only thing that burned were the ropes by which they were tied. Not even their hair was singed. Nebuchadnezzar made a decree and said, there is no God in all the world like the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who is able to deliver out of the burning. But he said, what God can deliver? He found out what God can deliver. For he is able to save to the uttermost from the most extreme conditions. Later on, when Darius replaced Nebuchadnezzar, when the Medo-Persian army conquered Babylon, and he became the king over the land, through a clever ruse of these evil men, he signed a document that sort of spelled Daniel's doom. If any man prays to any god except King Darius for 30 days, he's to be cast into the den of lions. And so Daniel, knowing that he had signed the decree, went home to pray, opened up the windows towards Jerusalem, and prayed as was his custom. And these evil men were waiting, and they heard him, and they ran to the king and said, we found a culprit who has defied your law, and they brought Daniel in. Well, the king loved Daniel, and he realized that he had been deceived by these men. And so he spent the day trying to find a loophole. There was none. They were clever in the writing of the decree. And so he then said to Daniel, Daniel, your God is able to deliver you. And so Daniel was cast into the den of lions. The king spent a sleepless night, but early in the morning he came out to the lion's den and he called down in a lamentable voice, it says, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you? And Daniel said, peace, king. The Lord sent an angel, shut the mouth of the lions, and has delivered me. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost out of the most difficult circumstances. I don't know what some of you might be facing today. It may be that you are looking at what seems to be impossible circumstances. You can't see any way out. But he is able to save to the uttermost from the worst of circumstances all who will come unto God by him. But surely, the verse is making a reference to the worst of sinners. He is able to save to the uttermost. That is, no matter how horrible your life has been, how evil has been your practices, no one is beyond the reach of God's forgiveness and God's grace. Paul wrote to Timothy, this is a faithful saying, it's worthy of everyone accepting it, that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Paul said, I'm the worst sinner of all. but God sent his Son into the world to save sinners. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. We remember that when Jesus was eating at the house of the Pharisee named Simon, that in that culture, when you had a great feast, the door was open. People could come in off the street and they would listen to the sages as they would talk. And usually there would be a crowd of people standing around because the open door. And there came into the room a prostitute, a woman of the street. And she stood behind Jesus. And as she heard him talk, her heart was convicted because of the manner of life she was living. She began to weep. Her tears fell on the feet of Jesus. And so she knelt down and she wiped them with her hair. She began to kiss his feet. And then she took a little vial of costly perfume and poured it on his feet. Simon the Pharisee said within himself, if this man were really of God, he wouldn't let that woman touch him because she's a prostitute. And Jesus said, Simon, I have something to say to you. Simon said, say on, Lord. Jesus said, there was a certain man who had a couple of creditors. One owed him $15, the other $15,000. He brought them both in and he canceled their debts, forgave them both. Which one do you suppose loved him the more? Simon said, well, I suppose the one that he forgave the greater debt. Jesus said, you've judged rightly, Simon. When I came into your house, you didn't give me common courtesies. You didn't have the servants wash my feet. You didn't greet me with a kiss. This is just common courtesy. But this woman, she's washed my feet with her tears. She hasn't ceased kissing my feet. And she anointed them with that costly perfume. And I say unto you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. And turning to the woman, he said, woman, your sin is forgiven. Because you see, he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. We remember that the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus who was caught in the very act of adultery. And they said, our law says we're to stone her. What do you say? Jesus said, whichever one of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And as he began to write in the dust on the ground, no doubt writing their sins, they began to leave one by one until no one was left but the woman. And Jesus stood up and said, what happened to your accusers? She said, well, sir, I guess I don't have any. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more. For Jesus said, God didn't send me into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He is able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him, seeing that he ever lives to make intercession for them. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. John wrote, for the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. He's able to save to the uttermost all sin. No one is beyond the grace of God. Dr. Finney, who was a famous evangelist of yesteryear, held tremendous revival services here in the United States. In some of the cities where he had held meetings after he left, all of the bars in town closed up for the lack of customers. So great was the results of his meeting, so many people accepting the Lord. He was holding a meeting in Chicago, and one evening as he was going up the steps of the great church there, a man met him at the bottom of the steps, and he said, "Are you Mr. Finney?" And he answered, "Yes." He said, "I want to see you after church tonight. Will you go with me?" And Dr. Finney said, "Why, yes, I will." So as he came up the steps, when he came to the top of the steps, one of the deacons of the church said, "I saw that man talking to you down there at the bottom. What did he want?" Dr. Finney said, "Well, he wants me to go with him after church tonight. He wants to speak with me." The deacon said, "You can't go with him. That man is one of the vilest men in all of Chicago. He has a horrible reputation. He's a killer. You can't go with him." Dr. Finney said, "Well, I gave the man my word, and I've got to keep my word." After the service, the board of deacons met Dr. Finney before he left, and they said, "We cannot let you go with that man. We know him. We know his reputation. We can't let you go." He said, "I'm sorry, gentlemen, but I gave him my word. I must go with him." So the man met him at the bottom of the steps, and they went up a few blocks, turned down an alley. Midway down the alley, the man pulled out a key, unlocked a door, and invited him to go on in, and he closed the door behind him and locked it. He went over and sat down behind the desk, and he motioned for Dr. Finney to sit on the chair facing the desk. And this man said, "I heard that you said that God could forgive a man any sin." Dr. Finney said, "Well, I really didn't say that. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin." He said, wait a minute. He said, "Out in front of this room, there is a bar." He said, "I own it." He said, "I've had mothers come in with babies in their arms, pleading with me and begging me not to sell their husbands any more booze." He said they would come in after payday and they would sit there drinking at the bar and they wouldn't have money to take home to support the family. And these women have come in weeping and crying, begging me, "Don't sell their husband any more booze." And he said, "I've had the bouncers throw them with their babies out on the street." "You mean God could forgive me?" Dr. Finney said, "Well, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin." Wait a minute, he said. "Behind the bar, between this room and the bar," he said, "there's a gaming room." He said, every device is fixed. He said, "No one can win." He said, "I have taken the last dollar dishonestly from men. They've gone out and committed suicide because they've lost everything. You mean God could forgive me?" And Dr. Finney said, "Well, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all." He said, wait a minute. And he pulled out a gun and he laid it there on the desk. And he said, "I have hired men to use this gun to kill my enemies. Men who have stood up against me." "You mean God could forgive me, my sins?" Dr. Finney said, "Well, all I can tell you is that the Bible does say that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sins." Wait a minute. That's not all. He said, "Across the street in the large brownstone house," he said, "I have a wife and a little daughter. A wife that I haven't kissed in years. I haven't said a decent word to her in years." He said, "My little daughter has a large burn mark on her arm. The other night when I came in, he said, I was a little drunk. She came running up to me, and I shoved her aside and said, get out of my way. And he said, I shoved her into the stove, and she burnt her arm. You mean God could forgive me? Dr. Finney stood up, and he grabbed the guy by the shoulders, and he began to shake him, and he said, you've got to be the vilest, most sinful man I have ever met in my life. And if it were up to me, there would be no forgiveness. But I've got to tell you that the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin. He said, thank you, Dr. Finney. That's all I needed to know. And he went over and unlocked the door, and he said, can you find your way back? And Dr. Finney said, I'm sure I can. The next morning, crossing the street from the bar to the brownstone house was this man. He went on into the house, upstairs to his bedroom. Down in the kitchen, his wife was fixing breakfast. She said to her little daughter, go up and tell your daddy that breakfast is ready. So she went upstairs and cracked the door open, and she called and she said, Daddy, Mama says that breakfast is ready. He said, tell Mama that Daddy doesn't want any breakfast this morning, honey. She flew down the stairs. She said, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy said he didn't want any breakfast, and he called me honey. She said, oh, honey, you must be hearing things, you know. Go up and tell your daddy that breakfast is ready. She went upstairs again, and this time followed by her mother. And the little girl again opened the door and called in and said, Daddy, Mama says breakfast is ready. And he says, come over here, sweetheart. She turned around and looked up at her mother, and her mother nodded yes. And so she went over, and he sat her on his lap, big arm around her. And then he motioned to his wife that she should come over also. And he put his arm around her, and he began to sob, and he said, I discovered last night that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse a man from all sin. Hallelujah. Yes. Later that morning, they went across the street and broke every bottle of booze in the bar. They put a big padlock on the door. And that man became an outstanding Christian in the community there, because he is able to save also to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him. But notice the requirement. All who will come unto God by him. You must come to the Father through Jesus Christ. There is one God and one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. All who will come by him. The only approach that sinful man can have unto a holy God is through Jesus Christ. Job saw the sheer folly of trying to approach God directly, but Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. The Levitical priesthood, interestingly enough, has been abolished. When the Roman troops finally conquered Jerusalem in 70 AD and the temple was destroyed. At that time, the whole Mosaic system ended. No more sacrifices, no more priests, no more mediators. Why? Because God had sent his Son, who ever lives and is the eternal mediator between God and man. And he is there today at the right hand of the Father to intercede for you if you will just but come unto him. Paul, when he was writing to the Romans, said, or he asked, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ who has died, yea, rather is risen again, and is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us." He ever lives. He ever lives to make intercession for those who will come unto the Father by him. When I sin, I can come and receive the forgiveness of my sins through Jesus Christ. The door is open. He's made the way. I can come to the Father and I can confess my sin. And because he died for me, because he took my sins and died in my place, he can also intercede and does intercede for me. And now, through him, I have life, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, all made possible through our great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the glorious truth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our great high priest. Thank you for opening the door that we might come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy. And Lord, we come today in Jesus' name, asking you, Lord, to wash and to cleanse us from all defilement of this world and make us pure, Lord, and holy like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? If classifications were put on sinners in categories 1 to 10, where would you classify yourself? 0.05? Well, you see, I'm a pretty good person. I do my best to, you know, live by the golden rule and so forth, and try to be honest and upright. Or maybe you'd be 10 plus. Doesn't matter, does it? We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior. We all need someone who will stand between us and the Holy Father. And thank God, God has provided through Jesus Christ an approach. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. If you're a little sinner, if you're a great sinner, doesn't matter, you're a sinner. You need salvation, and he is able to save. I would encourage you, go back to the prayer room. Pastors are back there waiting for you. They'll be glad to pray with you. And you can experience today that's what David spoke about when he said, "Oh, how happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven. How happy is the man whose sins have been covered." The door is open. It's your move. You see, God has already made his move. He sent his son to die for your sins. He made his move. Now it's your move. All who will come to God by him, that's your move. And it's time to make that move, don't you think?